If there's one thing we've learned about business and life, it's that people are the X factor. They constantly surprise us, both in amazing ways and not so much. We're Ben and Sia, and welcome to the Gnaw on This Business Bites podcast. This show is all about real life things we all deal with every day, how they relate to business, and how to make some sense out of our daily chaos. Welcome to the show. And welcome back to another episode of Gnaw on This Business Bites. I'm Ben, and this is Sia. So here's a question for you, and this is something I've been asking people a lot lately. Are you using AI to smash rocks or build cathedrals? And I usually get this deer in headlights look. What are you talking about, Baker? You know, I don't see it. You gave me that same look.
And I think in my head I did. What are you talking about,
Baker? What are you talking about, Baker? So here's where I'm going with this. AI, like every piece of technology before it, and I'm old enough, you know, classic Gen Xer, that I've been watching technology for 40 years. I've seen it come and go. I've seen it, you know, here today, gone tomorrow. Some of it succeeds, some of it doesn't. But what I've always found out is technology is only as useful and only as good as the humans using it. You know, we give a mason a hammer, they build a cathedral. We give a five-year-old that same hammer, they smash rocks, because that's all they're capable of. AI is an incredible tool. There's a lot that it can do, but it can't do it on its own. It requires the ability to ask it the right questions, to formulate, to think, to strategize, to postulate, to think. And if we can't do that, if we can't guide it in the right directions, to ask it the right questions, to give us the right answers, we're never going to be able to utilize it to add value within our organization, with our stakeholders, our clients, our vendors. See, let's gnaw on this.
You know, it's funny, when you first said to me, I'm like, building a cathedral, who wants to build a cathedral? Like, isn't there like the cathedral out in Spain still getting built out for the next 100 years or whatever? So, you know, I really like the way that you posed it, though, because I think in some ways, you know, some people approach the concept of AI as a brute force tool, right? Yes. I need it to get it done, blah, blah, blah. And there's others that are leveraging AI to create beautiful things, if you want to call it that, right? Whether that is building a, optimized process. That's a thing of beauty, especially in terms of business, right? Like, exactly. You can optimize our processes. It minimizes overhead, increases profit, and all that good stuff. And there's also AI that you use for creatives, right? Like, so, I'm going to shout out Corey Warfield because he had a post this other day on LinkedIn that really kind of like made me think more than I try not to. Okay, random ADHD thoughts. But he's a big advocate of, you know, communicating what AI can do very pragmatically. Mm-hmm. And points out, like, you know, hey, there is a fear mongering around AI. But here's what it actually can do right now. Here it is. Like, and every now and then he highlights certain things. And of course, it's great to share the foibles of what AI cannot do. But this one post really got me thinking, Ben. I should have tagged you on it. But it was a video that he had created that was an AI song, female singer, female voice. The video, that he created along with it, there were certain scenes that absolutely looked like someone videoed it, like someone in with a creative, angles and all that stuff. It was just a girl walking down the street singing, you know, her song. And of course, just like all editing, you jump cut to a different scene or a different angle and all that stuff. It wasn't by far, I mean, honestly, on a scale of 1 to 10, I thought it was probably like 5 or 6.
Okay. Gotcha.
Not because it wasn't realistic. It was just, there's some kludginess and cluckiness about that. You're like, this is a fake person. And every now and then, certain, like, our eyes can catch
Right.
animation versus a real image or the hyper realistic image. So anyway, my response to it was, you can enjoy AI music. You can enjoy AI art. You can enjoy AI tools, processes, etc. Right. But the root of it all is ultimately like, where's your heart at? Like, how we appreciate art, like, do we have an emotional connection around it? It makes us reminisce about something else. It triggers that. Can AI provide that level of emotional connectivity that we're like, ooh, I argue, maybe. I don't know.
Maybe
Some people.
someday. I don't think it's there yet.
I think it's eye of the beholder, right? Because it could be
Yes.
something as fleeting as, oh my gosh, a purple butterfly went by, and then suddenly they connect to it no matter what, right?
Right.
So with what you're saying, it's like, are you building, and using AI to build something of beauty, right? Like, I think there's beauty in it. As a creative agency, I'm absolutely cognizant of the fact that AI could be a tool that's going to hammer my business too. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I can go out of business easily. And so I guess, with the way you're framing it, you're making me think in a lot of different ways where, I don't want to always be like AI getting our jobs and taking our jobs. But at the same time, I also think as humans, we can still outprocess computer AI as far as the emotional quotient of things, our wisdom of learned experience. I can't help but keep coming back to Data from Star Trek, right?
Right.
He was a functioning, he was cognizant of the fact that he was a robot, but he, always tested, the hypotheses. Can he ever feel emotional connection? It's still coded in him, regardless.
Right, but
And
he's always going to be cognizant that he's a robot. I mean, you're bringing up some really interesting thoughts in my mind. It says the other day I ran an experiment just for curiosity. I had written an article. And what I did was I loaded the article into ChatGPT and also Gemini. I did it for both of them just for curiosity. Should probably write it in Claude just for fun. But what I said is based on this article, write me the next five articles in the series talking about this, 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 and this. And keep the articles under 1500 words each. Well, it gave me a good start. In my mind, it gave me a good start. It gave me a leg up. It gave me, okay, this is where these articles are going. Now I need to flush these things out. Now I need to make it so it sounds and feels like me. Now I need to make it relevant to my specific audience. And the more prompts you create within the conversation, the better you can do. I'm lucky enough that I've written two books. I can put my two books into the thing, and it says, write these articles in the voice based on these two books, which is, absolutely 100% my, my voice, my cadence, my thought process, my language, sequential things like that. So it's getting better,
it is.
but it's basing it on the fact that I'm realizing I can't just take those five articles as they are, not look at them, copy paste them into a document and say, throw them up on the internet and call them mine. It's even though the original article came from me, I personally would sit there and say, you know what, to me, that's doing things half-ass.
Oh, totally.
That's
Oh.
doing things. I mean, but here's another thought, and then we can go back to this, is that my friend Brian Tracher came up with something really interesting the other day. He says, I was having problems connecting to a certain person on the internet. They just, for some reason, we kept missing each other. There wasn't an emotional connection. There wasn't the ability, and we're trying to get in touch with this person. He says, have you tried doing this? Take all of the recommendations that they give, not the recommendations that they've gotten, it's the recommendations that they have given. Copy paste them into ChatGPT, Claude, Gemini, whatever your
Perplexity,
thing,
all of them, yeah.
Perplexity, whichever one you want, and say, based on these recommendations, what are the things that are important to this person? And it was amazing to me. It came up with six or eight things that were a continuous theme of the ideas and thoughts and ideas that are very important. And I was able to then be able to take that language and be able to compose an email that was more in the language of the person that I was talking to, so it would resonate more with them to be able to get better engagement, which I did. So it's amazing what AI is capable of doing when you don't, in your words, use it as a blunt force, instrument, and you sit there and say, okay, what can I do with this? What are the opportunities that I can do to gain greater insights, to be able to utilize large language models to synthesize and understand so I can turn around and utilize this and create better stories out of it?
You just you gosh, especially for chat and those types of, platforms, I see more and more every day because I use chat every day.
Yeah,
I
me
don't
too.
mind saying it. I use it because I think it's great inspiration. Absolutely. And you know what? I'm not gonna lie. There are days when there's a couple things where I'm like, I need to write a summary on something. I'm not there for the words. I don't mind using ChatGPT and looking it up and like tweaking it and whatnot. But what I am seeing though is I'm seeing news articles with a freaking M dash.
Oh yeah, absolutely. All over the place.
And I'm just like, people, we're not saying not to use the hyphen. Because I actually got into a conversation with someone on LinkedIn. I think they weren't hearing what I was trying to say. And I'm not quite sure if I understood what they were trying to say. I think they thought I was attacking them for using hyphens. I'm like, I'm not attacking you for hyphens. The M dashes, it is a ChatGPT only thing. Nowhere on that keyboard does it have triple line, no break in, long ass hyphen. Okay. So I too write that way. I am a. What's that? What's it called? The ellipses where I do a lot of dot 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 because
Oh, I'm a
Gen X.
dot person.
That's
Yeah,
that's our
Gen X.
generation.
Yep.
That's our style of writing, right? So it feels like to me this is Gen Z's version of it is, but at some point because we use it so much, we can start recognizing each other using it, and that's where I think I'm trying not to be judgy McJudgerson because like I said, I have used it. There's no two ways about it. I have modified. Maybe there's some days where I'm like, copy paste, but it's usually not for anything really. Quite frankly, I would do it for like RFPs because let's be honest, those are a pain in the wazoo. I don't mind copy and pasting RFPs. Yeah, I said it, corporate people. Anyway, going back to what I was saying is I think people who if I see people use it occasionally, okay, I get it. We're short for time. I get
Yes.
it. But it's people who use it all the time, even in when they DM you in communications and emails and you're seeing the M dash and you're like, are you freaking kidding me? Are
Well,
you kidding me?
I know the Gen Zs because I'm a father of one, and I watch his friends and stuff like that communicate, and you can tell that they've gone to ChatGPT to compose an email. You know that they do, just based on the lexicon of words, the cadence, the intonation, things like that. It's like, for the most part, I get that, but what we're doing is we're robbing ourselves of the ability to communicate. When we rely too heavily on the AI to be that blunt force instrument, just to be the person who's just going to take over and just throw it out there, we lose our ability to differentiate. We lose our ability to have value. We lose our ability to create something that is more impactful. And I think that we need to be able to look at things, whether it's agentic AI, whether it's GPT, whether it's whatever. We need to take a look at it and sit there and say, okay, how do we use this in an elegant manner that doesn't take the humanity out of the people that are using it? And we have to realize, no matter what we're doing and how we're creating and utilizing AI, at the other end of things are human beings that want to be listened to, understood, and valued. And they want to know that we're curious about them and that we care. And I think that if we can actually think about that as we're creating with ChatGPT, Claude, whatever, Perplexity,
Whatever.
whoever, I think we will be far better off because I think that then we can go back and we can utilize it as an idea generator and be able to go back and add our own humanity into whatever we're doing. And I think that that's vitally important.
I 100%. And I think that's where it also like what we're talking about is tools, tools, tools. You use them or you don't use them. You can use them. You can take a screwdriver handle and just whack at a nail, okay?
Yes, you can.
You can. It's not to say you can't. Is that what it's used and designed for? Not necessarily, but you can do it if that's what you want to do with it. So again, I think I've heard people say this so many times. Oh, I'm afraid of AI. I'm afraid of AI. You know what? You
Just
let your
play with
fears
it.
get ahead of you, and therefore that's your call, your choice. Don't ever use it, and that's fine. Just understand, though, AI will take jobs. They will take job descriptions, tasks. How you can evolve for it is entirely up to you, because there will always be a cottage industry that erupts as a new need is filled or needs to be filled with every new innovation and technology. So
Absolutely.
that's kind of where we're at. So yeah, I really liked food for thought today, sir. You're giving me food for thought.
Well, okay, let's leave it there. We've given some people something to gnaw on. So I'm Ben.
I'm see ya.
And we'll see you soon.
Hey. Thanks for listening to another episode of Not On This Business Bites. If you liked what you heard, we most humbly ask that you like, share, and hit that subscribe button. If you want to communicate more effectively within your organization, contact Ben at imbenbaker.com or me at brilliantbeammedia.com. We can help you build your community, brand awareness, and personality through digital content and podcasting. We cannot wait to hear from you. See you next week for another episode of Not On This Business Bites.